We've been talking about the last two Sundays. We talked about a new person in Christ. And we talk about how people make resolution, but really they ought to make things if the Lord will this year. Amen. So we are new people. It's a new year. God gives us a chance to live for him more and more today. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, we talked about the fruit singular of the Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. So we ought to be exemplifying these fruit. It's 9 fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And we need to be, like the Bible says, adding to our faith these virtues and this fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. We also on Wednesday have been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, gifts is plural, but fruit is singular. Amen. Now, when you're getting the gifts of the church, and you need to come on Wednesday so you can get some of this teaching, there's gifts of pastor, teacher. There's gifts of government. There's gifts of exhortation, gifts of giving, ruling, gifts of mercy. Sister Russell asked that question. She said, well, I don't know what my gift is. We said, your gift is exhorting people. You encourage people. Your gift is helps. You help people. Amen? Amen. So you have a gift. Amen. Now, every one of us has a gift. Amen. People say, what my gift is? Let me just tell you, just get busy for the Lord. It'll manifest itself. God will show you what your gift. I don't know what you know it or not, but I just got saved, was all excited about the word of God, would tell everybody I know about Jesus Christ. And I went to a pastor in Birmingham. My brother was getting married, and I went there, and then they changed the word, and I didn't know about it. And I told the pastor, I just got saved, and I'm going to Bible college. And he said, man, you've been called to preach. I said, hold on a minute. You don't know my gift, but God had already put it in his heart. And I remember telling the pastor, say, he said, I need you to work with the young people. I said, well, I don't know about working with the young people. And I began to get into the Bible and begin to study about how to minister to young people and begin to listen to other youth pastors, and God manifests that gift. Amen? Amen. By the way, he's not going to manifest it. You ain't doing nothing. You need to get busy for the Lord. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk to today about the litmus test for being a Christian. And the litmus test is, if you're a Christian, you ought to have correct Christian behavior. See, a lot of people say they're Christian, but their behavior don't line up. So we're going to talk about correct Christian behavior. So take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's what we're going to be teaching from today. Ephesians chapter 4, one of Paul's prison epistles. He wrote to the church of Ephesus while he's in prison. And I want to show you how Paul was challenging them and admonished them that they ought to walk right. When you get there, Ephesians chapter 4, say amen. Amen. So I know you're there. We're just going to read the first 3 verses. I'll pray, then we get into the word of God today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Say, this is Paul speaking. Therefore, the what? Prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or beg, or plead with you, that ye what? Walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. We're going to talk about that today. You're talking about you're a Christian, you ain't walking right. You know, it used to be you walk like a duck, you talk like a duck, you're a duck. But there's some people that say they're a Christian, walk like a Christian, go to church or something, but they ain't walking right. Something wrong with that, amen? Amen. Here it is, verse 2. With all, this is how you need to walk. Lowliness and meekness with what? Long suffering. What? Forbearing one another in love. Now, if you ain't walking like that, something wrong with you. You got to have some lowliness, some meekness in you. You got to be long-suffering. Then you got to be forbearing one another, putting up with one another. False. Amen? Amen. Verse 3, read that with me. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, if you're causing division, something wrong. The Bible says you ought to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. God is not in the chaos. He's not in the division. He's not in the destruction. And let me just say this while I'm preaching. The devil is out to destroy everything. Amen. The devil can't nothing to do but to kill, to steal, and destroy. Destroy churches, destroying families, destroying community. Our whole culture is in chaos because of the devil. But I got news for you. Greater he is in me than he is in the Lord. So I don't care what he's doing. I'm still going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. So I want to preach to you for a little while, just for a little while on you need to walk right. Amen. You say, what you talking about, preacher? We're going to get into that, how you walk. You know, people talking about they're a Christian, but they ain't walking right. Talking about they're a Christian, they ain't living right. Talking about they're a Christian, they ain't acting right. So we're going to talk about walking according to your calling. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's day, a day that you have made. We rejoice in it. Thank you for those that were able to come out to the house of the Lord. Pray for those that may be sick on the, think about Sister Ben and some of the others that may cannot make it today. Pray for even the young people who may not have transportation. But I pray, Lord, that you would touch the millennials' hearts, that they would get their children back in the house of worship. Yes. Thank you for our Sunday school, Lord, that we had today on the parable of the soil, Lord. And the soil is just a picture of the heart. There's nothing wrong with the word. There's nothing wrong with the soil. But it's the condition of people's heart. And we see today, Lord, we got a lot of hard hearts today. We got a lot of people's hearts that got too much stuff in it, Lord. We got a lot of shallow hearts, Lord. We need to have the good hearts. So, Lord, I pray that you would soften people's heart up and plow up their ground, that the word of God would be able to take root. Thank you again for the testimonies. Thank you for the congregational singing, Lord. Thank you again for reading our covenant, Lord. Thank you for, again, announcement by my wife, Lord. Thank you for the offering by Gio, Lord. Thank you for, again, the corporate prayer by Jerry, Lord. Just thank you for everything, Lord. Even the song that the praise team sung a lot about how joy, Lord, you are everything that we need. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching, and I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my sin and help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. There's some books in the Bible that are called epistles, and they are the epistles of Paul. Paul wrote to, again, a Gentile church, but most of Paul's letters are mature letters. Now, there are a lot of people who don't get into the epistles. All they want to read is the Gospels. Well, the Gospels is good, but they're just for babies, okay? Those about the miracles and the wonder. See, once you start getting saved, God stopped doing all these miracles for you and wants you to start walking by faith. You know, he'll do a lot of things. I remember when I got saved, I said, Lord, you do it. He did it. Lord, you do it. You do it. But the sooner I got a little bit older, God began to say, now you're going to have to trust me now. I'm not going to just do something. Because you know how when you're a baby, your parents do everything for you. Feed you, clothe you, do everything. Now, something wrong with you. You get to be 15. I mean, you still want them to put your clothes on. So God is saying, no, you need to start walking by faith. So that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to walk by faith. Paul was dealing with this church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus was a spiritual church. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, it said they lost their first love. But they had forgot that they had all these spiritual truths, and they were living like paupers or living like poverty. The problem with us as Christians, and I just preached to you today, is that we have everything that we need for godly living, and we live like the devil. Something wrong with that. Now, if I got everything that I need, I got the word of God, I got the priest holder, I got the Holy Spirit living in me, he brings conviction, and I still live like the devil, something is wrong. And Paul would say, let me challenge you. You need to walk right. You need to walk worthy of your calling. You've been called to be a Christian. Walk like a Christian. You've been called to live right. Live like a Christian. Stop living like the world. Stop being contaminated. Stop letting people pull you down. Amen, somebody. Paul had to give him a little dissertation. Paul said, well, first of all, you've been adopted. In Ephesians 1:5, you say, you're adopting the church of Jesus Christ. Then you've been accepted. You know, there was a time when, you know, and by the way, let me help you out. If nobody else accept me, I'm accepted in the beloved, okay? Amen. Well, they don't like me, big deal. They don't care for me, big deal. Jesus liked me. And by the way, you might not want to hear this. If you live for the Lord, they ain't going to like you so well. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Okay. Don't come around here talking about that Jesus stuff. That's all you do. Don't nobody want to hear about Jesus when they ain't sin? Don't nobody want to hear about when they ain't doing right? Amen. So they ain't going to like you. Now, I want y'all to get it right. Sometimes you don't get it right. It's not that they don't like you. They don't like the God in you. See, they can't get their hands around God's neck, but they can get them around your neck. So you got to be careful. And he said, look, you've been redeemed. In verse 7, Ephesians 1, 5, you've been redeemed through the blood of Christ. God has given you wisdom that's abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You had an inheritance. Now, I know I may not look like much to you, but I'm rich in Christ. My father owned cattle on 1,000 hills. By the way, he owned the hill too, amen? So you might think, well, you know, you ain't got much, you ain't doing much. Well, I got news to you. I'm a co-heir with Jesus. Amen. And just because you didn't get it, he owned the world. Amen. And everything in it. So guess what? I own it too. So I may not look much to you. So he said, and then you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You can't get me. You can't send me to hell if you tried, okay? I have been sealed. I have been sanctified. I'm on my way to heaven. No matter what you do, I'm on my way to heaven. Don't matter what come or what go. Like the old preacher used to say, the water come, hell or high water, I'm still going to heaven. Amen? So in short, I got all the spiritual blessing that I need. So he was saying, let me help you out. Most of you all know about walking. When you start getting a little old like me, you have to go to the orthopedic. So y'all want me to preach a little bit. You had to go to the physical therapist. Or you have to go to chiropractor. And they want you to walk right. And Paul is saying, let me help you out. Just like you do that in physical, you need to do it in the spiritual realm. You've been given all this stuff. Walk like a Christian. Walk right. Amen? The first point I want to make on this, how Paul was saying we need to walk right, is point number one is we have a unique calling toward unity and to walking upright. Go back to our text. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of Rome. Is that what he said? I therefore, the prisoner of the Jews. Did he say that? I therefore, I'm the prisoner of Nero. Did he say that? You know what Paul said? I'm the prisoner of the Lord. Oh, let me preach a little bit. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what they do on you. You still belong to the Lord. Paul said, I'm down here in the jail. They done locked me up. I'm in a Praetorian guard. He's standing around me. They putting all kinds of trouble on me. But Paul said, you know what? I'm in the Lord's will. I don't care what you do to me. I'm still going to serve the Lord. He said, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. See, we need to understand that. Whatever God bring in our life, God has a calling for me. God has an assignment for me, and God has a mission. I'm in God's perfect will. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care what job I'm at. I don't care what home I'm in. Whatever I'm in, I'm in the will of God because God allowed it. Amen? Amen. Paul writing to the Ephesians, he said, y'all need to learn that. Now let me help you out. Your belief system controls how you live. Amen? Amen? Now, if I was to tell you, there's a fire in the building. If you believe me, you would get up and move. Amen? So Paul said, come on now. Now don't tell me you believe all this stuff about you being adopted and you've been saved, redeemed, but you don't live right. If I was to tell you belief system, you know, your belief system, again, and how you, if I was to tell you that coming to church or going home, there's a wreck on Chickamauga Dam and the traffic is backed up for 2 miles. You need to go C.B. Robinson Bridge. If you believe what you heard, you go the other way. See, your belief system calls you to act on it. Most of y'all get this next one. If I was to tell you that red lobster had salmonella, that they get in the fish, you know what I'm talking about? You wouldn't go eat there because you believe what you heard. Well, it's the same thing with Christianity, okay? You've been given all these great things for the Lord. God gave you everything that you need for godly living. God gave you the fruit of the Spirit. God gave you the gifts of the Spirit. So if you have everything that you need, you ought to walk right. Amen? Amen. Paul said, walk worthy of the vocation when you call. Live in a manner pleasing of a divine call. Live like a Christian. Walk like a Christian. Paul said, your belief system will cause you to live right. I ain't got time to preach on this, but since we might be preach on it, this government may say liquor is okay. Matter of fact, it's legalized. But if your belief system is it wrong, then you won't go to the liquor store. Amen. Preach, preacher. The government may say, well, we're going to legalize marijuana. And they may come with all these loopholes where, you know, it's medical marijuana, and you can do all this stuff. And let me tell you, but if your belief system says, you know, I don't believe that. I believe this temple is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to put no marijuana in my system. If you believe that, you wouldn't do it. The government might say, well, marriage can be defined, redefined. You know, well, you know, it ain't Adam and Eve no more. It's Adam and Steve or whatever. But if your belief system says, no, 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 I believe in what the Bible says. Oh, let me preach a little bit. I believe that God is truth. Matter of fact, there's only one truth. And that's God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. Look, it ain't but one truth. And you can't have two truths. It ain't no, well, it's this way on this side. No, it's one truth. And Jesus is the truth. And my belief system says, I believe in Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to believe what he said is true. Amen? Amen. Point number two, number one is we have a unique calling. Don't give me that. You know, everybody doing me wrong. No, I'm going to tell you something. If you're in God's hand, whatever they're doing to you, God is still your boss. Amen? Amen? I work for the Lord. Now, I know I might have a manager and a supervisor, but I work for the Lord. Amen? But we need to keep it. Point number two is that we need to walk in lowliness of mind and spirit. See, sometimes we think we more than what we are. The Bible said, don't ever put yourself up high. Always have a humble. The word is humble spirit. Amen? Amen. If I was to ask you a question, when do babies start to walk? Well, I looked it up on Yahoo, and it says about 15 months. Well, it depends on, but the average is about 15 months. They start crawling at about 10 months. They start sitting up about 8 months. They start talking about maybe 18 months, but they start walking about 15 months. Now, if you 15 and you still crawling, something wrong. Oh, y'all laughing, but we got Christians that been in the church for years and still cussing folks out. We got Christians that been in the church for years and still sleeping around. Oh, y'all want me to preach anymore? You got Christians. How long you been saved? Oh, I've been saved a long time. When you gonna start living like? I remember a preacher got saved, and he said he was so worried about his daddy. He said his daddy used to get drunk on the weekend, come home and fight him. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. And go to church and sing in the choir, meet the loudest one. Oh, he said, when he truly got saved, he went to his father. Now, I know y'all don't like going to your family, but they need to be saved too. He said, he went to his father and said, Daddy, I got to ask you. I'm sorry, but Daddy, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? He said, Daddy, start crying. He said, what you crying for? He said, son, you don't even know if I'm saved. You don't live like it. If you don't live like it, how I know? How you think I'm going to know you say if you don't live like it? Y'all might not like this, but I'm going to just say it anyway. There's some people say, but they ain't never been taught nothing. And you have to tell them, you can't live like that. You can't do that. Well, ain't nobody never told me. Well, I'm telling you. You need to live right. So sometimes it's bad teaching. Amen? 1 Corinthians 14 say, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. You know how children are, don't you? They fight today and they friends tomorrow. Christians ought to be like that. Now, everybody ain't going to agree with you. But please don't hold that for 10 years. Well, Sister So-and-so, you remember when she called me out? I ain't never forgot that. How long ago? 10 years ago. Come on now. You're a Christian. Grow up. Forbearing one another. Putting up with one another. Long suffering. Be forgiving. As Christ forgave you, learn how to forgive people. The greatest problem in the Christian church is we carry around an unforgiving spirit. Amen. Y'all want me to preach this morning, do you? You know the people that you have to forgive are the ones closest to you? You know the people that stabbed you in the back are the ones that you done did everything for them? And they still stabbed you in the back. You got to learn how to say, that was okay. I'm all right. I'm going on. See, you couldn't have stabbed me if God hadn't allowed it in the way. Joseph said it like this. Say, bring all my brothers to my house. I'm going to feed them. And then I'm going to reveal myself to them. And hear the brothers say, he going to get it to you. He said, hold on a minute. What you meant for evil, God meant it for good. See, God sent me before to prepare a way for you. See, I know you didn't know what you were doing. I know you thought putting me in the pit and selling me down to Egypt was messed up, but God had a plan. Let me help you out. If you ain't hear me today, God, whatever you're going through, God got a plan for you. Amen? And it's for your benefit. It's for your betterment. God got something for you. Amen. God got something for you. Walk right. John said like this, which are born in 3 John said, which are born witness of the charity after a godly sort. Walk means to move forward. It means to strive. It means to walk. Now, I want y'all to get this right. We're not talking about a 100-yard dash. Christianity is a marathon. Oh, I'm tired. Hold on a minute. It ain't like that. It's one day at a time. Sweet Jesus. One day. Most of you know, I can give you a little analogy with sports. You can understand that. If you was on a soccer field and a guy picked the ball up with his hand and ran and threw it in the goal, you'll say, forfeit, that's not the rule. The rule is on a soccer, you don't use your hands. Amen? Or I took you to a basketball game. So say we went to a basketball game, the Hawks, Atlanta Hawks. And a guy kicked the ball in the goal. You'll say, no, those not the rules. Well, let me have Christian, stop going against the rules. God has given you rules. Follow his rules. Amen. 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 Lowly spirit. We need to not waver. The Bible said with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, it's almost giving you the fruit of spirit, forbearing one another. These three words constitute walking worthy of a Christian, that we need to know how to act. We need to know how to behave. We need to maintain. We need to learn how to be meek. Meek don't mean weak. Meek just means power under control. Yeah, folk do you wrong. Just let me help you out. The Bible said, pray for those. Here it is right here. Bless them that curse you. In 2020, somebody going to cuss you out. Oh, I don't want to be a prophet here, but somebody going to cuss you. The Bible said, here it is. Bless them that curse you. Then the Bible said, and do good to them that hate you. Oh, I don't want to preach hard on you, but there going to be some haters on you this year. I don't like what you did. Well, you shouldn't have done. I ain't for that. By the way, you always going to have the naysayers and the haters. They ain't going nowhere. But the Bible says, here it is. Do good to them. Oh, I know you can't understand because I can't understand. But the Bible said you heap coals of fire on their head. See, they can't understand. Look, how you keep loving on me and I'm doing you wrong? Well, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God will eventually break them down. Oh, they're hating on you. But see, it's something about the love of God. God so loved that he gave his only son. See, you can't fight love. The greatest virtue of all is love. Amen. And see, you love, the Bible says, you love a person, you love over their sin. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. You know, if I was to sit here and ask you, you know, everybody get on your nerve. But you know what? You didn't put the... Come on, top down. Who didn't do that? You squeezed all the toothpaste out. You have people to squeeze all the toothpaste and leave the toothpaste, or you drank all the drink in the refrigerator and leave an empty jug. You know? But you got to learn how to forbear. Learn how to forbear. Point number one is, number one, we have a unique calling. Paul said, I'm not the prisoner of Rome, the prisoner of Jesus. Point number two is, walk in the spirit of lowliness. Be humble. That's the hardest thing for us to do, is be humble. But learn how. The Bible says the way up is the way down. Have a humble spirit. Don't have a haughty spirit. Always be lowly minded. That's why the Bible says Moses was the meekest man. Now Moses let the people get to him, so don't follow Moses' pattern, because Moses lost his chance to go in the promised land because God said, Moses, you the leader. How in the world are you going to let folks get to your nerve? By the way, the Bible said, well, much is given. Oh, help me somebody. Look, don't you act like the fool. I tell people all the time, now they acting like a child. Don't you act like that. They got on my nerve. Well, hold on a minute. Don't you get down where they at. Let them clown. Don't you clown. You be the one that be. And by the way, people don't like to hear this. The spiritual one take most of the suffering. Oh, y'all didn't want me to preach that, dude. That's the one. That's the one that takes it. They just hitting you and stabbing you. That's fine. Exactly. That's all right. God got this. Amen? And point number three, walk in genuine love and affection. Have a tender hearted. Jesus said, I know you're my disciple. You have love one to another. Love worketh no ill against his brother. Love in chapter 1 Corinthians 13, long suffering. Love. I'm not talking about the worldly type of love. You know, I love you, you love me back. I'm not talking about that love. I'm talking about agape, unconditional love. Love people when they're doing you wrong. Love people when they scandalizing your name. Love people when they're lying on you. Oh, y'all want me to preach a little bit, right? Talking about endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. We need to learn how to be mistreated and let it go. Oh, you don't want me to pray, do you? Let it go. I'm so tired of them doing me wrong. Let it go. Matter of fact, stop rehearsing it. Y'all know how people rehearse stuff? You know, if you got a sore and you keep picking it, it's going to get sore. Yeah. Let it alone. They did me wrong. Every time I talk to you, that's all you talk about. I don't want to hear that. Let's not talk about what they did to you. Let's move on. It's a new year. Let's go on for the Lord. Amen? Learn how to control your temper. Oh, now, let me preach a little bit. Here it is. Knock that off my shoulder. Hold on a minute. You don't need to put no chip on your shoulder and dare nobody to knock it off. Somebody's going to knock it off. Learn how to control. Be humble. Be patient. Be meekness. Control yourself. Have a loving mentality. Don't find yourself getting angry. Don't get angry. The Bible said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Let me tell you, if you get mad at somebody, just, you know, let it go. Let it go. Now, you human. The Bible said, you know, you're going to get mad for a minute, but don't stay there. Stay there. Don't stay there. This go on, and y'all know that everybody family. She mad. Everybody know. Don't say nothing to her now. She'll cut your head off. The children know when you're mad. Amen? Now again, and I'm so glad that, you know, I believe in disciplinary. But they tell you, don't whoop the children when you're mad. Because you're going to act a fool. They're going to come lock you up. Calm down yourself. I said this guy was at the store. And his little, he had a little seven-year-old boy. And the boy was getting into trouble. And he kept saying, Charlie, calm down. Charlie, calm down. And the lady came to him, the cashier said, I'm sorry that your little boy Charlie is messing up. He said, I'm Charlie. He said, I'm talking to myself. Charlie, calm down. You've heard that. You've heard that. Count 10. Yeah. Count 10. And it's something. One. And by the way, when you count, it's not one, it's 1,001. 1,002, because it's a long time to get to 10. And then you calm on down. Your muscles begin to relax. The children say this. You know when she's mad, don't you? Her nose get wide. You heard that? Them veins pop up in her neck. Calm down. Calm down, okay? Learn how to not. Here's a pattern that you can follow in 2020. Okay? The Bible says right here. It says, use the reverse rule. Instead of being stressed, be blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Look, stop letting them stress you out. I'm blessed. Instead of getting mad, get glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Instead of people calling you to lose sleep, go to bed. Get on your pillow and go to sleep. You ain't gonna bother me. I'm going to bed. Bye. Get some sleep. Instead of letting people get on your nerve, have joy unspeakable. The joy of the Lord. Just have some joy in your heart. And by the way, they can talk, say anything else, but you got joy. Amen? Instead of letting people drive you crazy, have peace of mind. The Bible says he will keep his mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And by the way, you need to know how to call on Jesus. Amen? Because there's some trials that are going to come. You're going to have to, Jesus, I need you right now. Right about now, Lord. I need your help. I'm not knowing how to act right. I need your help, Lord. Lord, if you don't do it, won't nobody else do it. So you need to learn how to do the reverse principle, okay? Here's this one here. I know y'all don't think I'm preaching at you, but I'm not preaching at you. When they block your call, you know how they block your call? God answers all my calls. Yeah, I'm blocked. That's okay. I can call Jesus. And by the way, it's 911. I can call him up in the midnight hour. I can call him up at the noon. I don't care how you don't want to talk to me. I got a Jesus that I can talk to in the midnight hour. When I'm going through the time, when I'm stressed out, when I'm burdened down, I can call on Jesus. Lord, I need your help right about now. Lord, would you come and see about me? And the Bible says he gets excited. He comes all the way from heaven and take care of my need. Oh, yeah, you don't want to talk to me today. That's all right. God got me, amen? When they misunderstand you, God understands you. You know that what I like about God? He created me. He know all about me. And by the way, a lot of times we don't understand it. Some people don't mean it. They just don't understand. And you say, I don't understand why they don't understand you. You don't? Well, let me help you out. They got problems like you got problems. They got issues like you. So guess what? When you get misunderstood, call on Jesus. Oh, he understands. The Bible even talks about the Holy Spirit with murmurs and complaining that it takes your holy words and turn them into words. See, sometimes you get so burdened down, you can't even pray right. You'd be so hurting. But I got the Holy Spirit, I got you. Go on and talk a little bit. And he take those little words, Lord, I'm sorry, I got you. Lord, I'm having a hard time. Lord, I got you. And he take those words and take them to the throne of God. Oh, Lord, y'all let me give it to you. And when he get to the throne of God, Jesus steps in and say, that's what my child down there. And that's my child looking, and I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to come see about him, amen? So don't let him get on your nerve. Here's this other one. When your friends or your family don't come through financially, he supply all my needs. Yeah. I need some help. I can't help you. That's all right. Philippians 4:19 say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And I already told you he owned cattle on a thousand hill. He owned the hill. And let me tell you, when I don't know how it's going to come out, and I go, you know how we do. We go everywhere, and they got this astronomical price that I can't afford. All of a sudden, God showed me something that was out there. Amen. What? They called me personally. John Jeter, was you the one? Oh, we got this deal for you. What? I had a lady just tell me just the other day. Now, in 2020, going up. But since it's December 2019, you can get it right here locked in. I say, thank you, so Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I told my wife, I said, now when I turn 64, I'm going to try to set you up where when I have some life insurance, if something happened to me, you'll be taken care of. If something, and God worked it all out. Amen. I was sweating bullets. You know how you be. God said, I got your financial. I got your financial. God take care of you. God give you mercy. I don't want to preach on the movie, but I'm not a movie person, but I went and saw Just Mercy. And the man was in prison because they cheated on him and lied on him. But God had a better plan, and he gave him mercy. And it was so good that he began to cry when they told him, say, you free to go. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. When everything is against you, and God exonerate, take care of all your charges, say nothing, and you walk free. By the way, if you didn't know it, when I came to Christ, he took all my sins, in the past, my sins that I'm still doing, my sins in the future, and he threw them in the depths of the ocean. And he said, Jeter, you have a brand new slate. Nobody can bring up your past or your future. You've been cleansed. Like they used the term, squeaky clean. So guess what? Don't let them get on your nerve. Amen? And here's the other one that you can use reversal. When they don't show up on your big day, you know, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be there. And this is your big day. They finna raise you up and not, and they don't show up. God will show up. And then he'll show out. He'll show up and show out. Well, where my family at? Don't worry about the family. They didn't make it. My daughter wanted me to preach, but she had all these problems Well, I ain't going to make it, and I got to do all this. God said, I got you. I got you in the palm of my hand. Oh, my mama used to say it like this, Bubba, that's what they call me, Bubba. He's got the whole world in his hand. My daughter was on a sick bed, and I was sweating bullets. I was up in Memphis, and my mama got on the elevator with me. She said, I'll go with you to the room. And she looked at me, Bubba, don't you know he got the whole world in his hand? You know, it's something about, I don't know what y'all mean to preach, but it's something about our folks. They ain't got all the education that I had. You know, they ain't went to the college that I went to, but they know the Lord, and they know how to call on him. And then, what made it so real, and I'm a picture of a little house, that when I went, you know, they have a waiting room. And when I went to the waiting room, my mother had already put scripture around the wall in the waiting room, and then she had been praying. And when I got to the waiting room, all the other folks were saying, can you pray for us too? You know, can you pray for us? Let me tell you, God was taking care. God is a whole time God. He take care of you. When nobody else, God called on Jesus. Amen. Call on him. Reverse it. When you have this happened just the other day, a mini stroke or a mild heart attack. I had a buddy who I got the call. You need to go to Erlanger. He's in the emergency room. And so you need to go. He had a heart attack. And so when I rushed to the emergency room, he was sitting up in the bed, and we began to laugh and talk. And he said, they ain't found nothing. They did an EKG. They did an echo. They did a blood test. They ain't found nothing. But they going to make me go through an MRI. But I don't. I say, well, go through it. I went to his house the other day. I said, well, what happened? Well, the doctor's still confused because the MRI came back clear. They don't even know what happened. I said, I know what happened. Jesus did. I know what happened. He's the on-time God. I know what happened. We prayed in the emergency room. We prayed in the room. And when they had him hooked up, and his medical record came back clean. You know what gets me is that his daughter is a traveling nurse. His sister is in the help. And all us that think we know a little bit about medicine, God shot all that down the tube. God said, I know y'all worried about it. I got this. I got this. And he's doing fine. He had already told me, he said, you know, I don't go to the hospital for nothing. I don't know what happened. I said, well, apparently they don't either. Because you're doing fine. Try not to get discouraged this 2020. Even when you're hurting and you're all alone. You know, one of the biggest things about us is we get lonesome sometimes and we feel like no one else is there. But let me tell you, God's there. Amen. Jesus there. Amen. And by the way, you could be around people and still be lonely. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when my wife is going overseas, but sometimes when they go and I have the house by myself, I'll be talking to the Lord all day and all night. It's just a joy. They don't know that I love when I can study and call on the Lord. And go upstairs and call on the Lord and go downstairs and call on the Lord and say, Lord, I need you right about now. And even sometimes when it looked like, you know, it looked like everything ain't going right, you can call on Jesus. The old folks used to say it like this. He's bridge over troubled water. He's bread when it's a desert. He's water, living water. He's a mind regulator when you don't understand him. He can do everything. We have a God that knows us. Amen? Amen? So don't get discouraged here. Don't feel like you're all alone. Paul was in prison. And Paul said it like this. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. But Paul, where you at? You at the high regency somewhere? No. I'm in prison. But Paul, where you at? I'm down here in a dungeon. This ain't in my message, but I just heard it the other day. I'm going to give it to you as I close. Paul and Silas went to Philippi. Y'all know the story. And they got beat and they got put in jail. And when they got in jail, I don't know who said it, but one of them said, Paul and Silas said, you know what? We need to come up with a hymn here. We need to start singing. And I don't know who was the baritone, who was the bass, but somebody started saying, ain't he a good God? And God is going to work it out. And he's going to work it out for me. And God is you so. And somebody said, as they were singing, the rest of the prisoner heard it. Are y'all listening to me? And somebody said, now this is Jeter theology, so y'all don't take it too far. Somebody said, God was in heaven. And he started hearing something. He said, what? Are they singing down there? And somebody said that the angel said, that's Paul and Silas. And somebody said, God started tapping his feet. All right. But you know, when God's feet tap, the earth started shaking. And so when God tapped that feet, the chains fell off. And God tapped the feet, the earthquake came. And God tapped the feet, go on and sing it, Paul. Go on and sing it, Silas. I got you up here. And they all looked, and they were free. And the prison guard, the warden said, took a sword. Y'all know the story. He said, well, they all going to die, and they going to kill me because my job is to keep me in jail. And it's in the midnight, it was night, and he saw that sword. And Paul saw it, he's going to kill me. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. We all here. We all here. Warden, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay right here till you get the chains back on. And the Bible said he ran to him and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul gave him that testimony I want to give you to tell this year, 2020. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your whole household. Well, y'all don't mean to preach a little bit, but the Bible said he began to take some salve and put on Saul where he had them beat him. Now, you know somebody done changed when they done beat you, then turn around and bring the salve. Say, come on in here, Saul. We're going to doctor you up. That what mama used to do when she used to whoop me down. She get them switches. Come on in here, boy. Let me get some of this grease and put on you. You know I love you. But the warden rubbed him down, and the Bible said his whole house got saved. Y'all don't want me to preach a little bit, but I can see that. Miss Warden, say, what's going on in prison? Honey, you need to come down here. I got some good news. And bring my son and bring my daughter. And when she got down there, Paul said, your husband, the warden, just received Christ. And he's so excited, he wants me to share with you. And the Bible said his whole house, he shared it. Mama got saved. Son got saved. And daughter got saved. Oh, y'all want me here? Now, let me help y'all with the church a bit. They didn't even have a church in Philippi. But somewhere down the line, Lydia got saved. Y'all know the story? And she said, y'all can start meeting in my house right now. And then the Philippian jailers came over there, and they started spreading out. Let me tell you, we might be in a little four wall here, but as the word of God go forth, people get saved, we'll have to tear these walls down. And don't let God start tapping his feet. Tapping his feet, things going to change. This year, 2020, what we need to do, we need to walk right. We need to talk right. We need to walk worthy of our calling. If you're a Christian, walk like a Christian. If you're a Christian, talk like a Christian. And most of all, live like a Christian. Don't tell me you're a Christian, you're living like the devil. Come on, don't tell me that. Because I'm going to do like James. I'm going to say, wait a minute. You say you're safe, but you ain't got no works? Then don't tell me that, because I don't believe it. If you're not got any works to back up that you say, then you're not saved. Your works will hit it, will authenticate that you're a Christian, that you're a child of God. The Bible says we are created unto good works. Amen? Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you, Father, we poured out our heart, Lord, about how we need to walk right. Paul said, walk worthy of the vocation or the calling that we've been called. Lord, I pray that everybody in the sound of my voice will understand that we have a calling. The world needs to see Jesus in the flesh, needs to see people walking like a Christian. Help us to walk right this year, 2020. As I pray, Lord, use it for your glory. Everyone stand to your feet with your head bowed as the piano player plays. What? What's the name? God is so good. Turn to page 231 in your hymn book, and we're going to sing, God is so good. And if God spoke to your heart about anything, if you realize that now you need to walk right, need to live right, need to talk right, you can come today and say, Lord, I want to do exactly what you want me to do. As we sang a verse of God is so good on page 231. Everyone, God is so good. Brother Jennings, would you come? God is so good.